14. Billy Button was Billy Button. Dirty, sprawling, dark, sinuous Billy Button, exuding decay and yet full of a vitality that Rach was convinced was to be found nowhere else on Trantor. Perhaps it was to be found nowhere else in the Empire, though Rach knew nothing firsthand of any world but Trantor. He had last seen Billy Button when he was not much more than 12, but even the people seemed to be the same, still a mixture of the hangdog and the irreverent, filled with a synthetic pride and a grumbling resentment, the men marked by their dark, rich mustaches, and the women by their sack-like dresses that now looked tremendously slatternly to Rach's older and more worldly wise eyes. How could women with dresses like that attract men? But it was a foolish question. Even when he was 12, he had had a pretty clear idea of how easily and quickly they could be removed. So he stood there, lost in thought and memory, passing along a street of store windows and trying to convince himself that he remembered this particular place or that, and wondering if, among them all, there were people he did remember who were now 8 years older. Those, perhaps, who had been his boyhood friends. And he thought uneasily of the fact that, while he remembered some of the nicknames they had pinned on each other, he could not remember any real names. In fact, the gaps in his memory were enormous. It was not that 8 years was such a long time, but it was two-fifths of the lifetime of a 20-year-old, and his life since leaving Billy Button had been so different that all before it had faded like a misty dream. But the smells were there. He stopped outside a bakery, low and dingy, and smelled the coconut icing that reeked through the air that he had never quite smelled elsewhere. Even when he had stopped to buy tarts with coconut icing, even when they were advertised as doll style, they had been faint imitations, no more. He felt strongly tempted. Well, why not? He had the credits, and Doris was not there to wrinkle her nose and wonder aloud how clean, or more likely not clean, the place might be. Who worried about clean in the old days? The shop was dim, and it took a while for Rach's eyes to acclimate. There were a few low tables in the place, with a couple of rather insubstantial chairs at each, undoubtedly where people might have a light repast, the equivalent of mocha and tarts. A young man sat at one of the tables, an empty cup before him, wearing a once white T-shirt that probably would have looked even dirtier in a better light. The baker, or in any case a server, stepped out from a room in the rear and said in a rather surly fashion, "What'll you have?" "A Coke icer," said Rach in just as surly a fashion. He would not be a Billy Bottoner if he displayed courtesy, using the slang term he remembered well from the old days. The term was still current, for the server handed him the correct item, using his bare fingers. The boy, Rach, would have taken that for granted, but now the man, Rach, felt taken slightly aback. "You want a bag?" "No," said Rach. "I'll eat it here." He paid the server and took the Coke icer from the other's hand and bit into its richness, his eyes half-closing as he did so. It had been a rare treat in his boyhood. Sometimes when he had scrounged the necessary credit to buy one with, sometimes when he had received a bite from a temporarily wealthy friend, most often when he had lifted one when nobody was watching. Now he could buy as many as he wished. "Hey," said a voice. Rach opened his eyes. It was the man at the table scowling at him. Rach said gently, "Are you speaking to me, Bub?"
"Yeah. What you doing?"
"Eating a Coke icer. What's it to you?" Automatically, he had assumed the Billy Button way of talking. It was no strain at all.
"What you doing in Billy Button?"
"Born here, raised here, in a bed, not in a street like you." The insult came easily, as though he had never left home.
"That's so? You dress pretty good for a Billy Buttoner. Pretty fancy-dancy. Got a perfume stink about you."
And he held up a little finger to imply effeminacy.
"I won't talk about your stink. I went up in the world."
"Up in the world?
La-dee-da."
Two other men stepped into the bakery. Rach frowned slightly, for he wasn't sure whether they had been summoned or not. The man at the table said to the newcomers,
"This guy's gone up in the world. Says he's a Billy Buttoner."
One of the two newcomers shambled a mock salute and grinned with no appearance of amiability. His teeth were discolored.
"Ain't that nice? It's always good to see a Billy Bottoner go up in the world. Gives them a chance to help their poor, unfortunate sector people. Like credits. You can always spare a credit or two for the poor, hey? How many you got, mister? Said the other, the grin disappearing. Hey, said the man behind the counter. All you guys get out of my store. I don't want no trouble in here.
There'll be no trouble, said Rach. I'm leaving.
He made to go, but the seated man put a leg in his way. Don't go, pal. We'd miss your company. The man behind the counter, clearly fearing the worst, disappeared into the rear. Rach smiled. He said, One time when I was in Billy Bottom, guys, I was with my old man and old lady, and there were 10 guys who stopped us. 10, I counted them. We had to take care of them.
Yeah, said the one who had been speaking.
Your old man took care of 10?
My old man? Nah, he wouldn't waste his time. My old lady did, and I can do it better than she can. And there are only 3 of you, so if you don't mind, out of the way.
Sure, just leave all your credits, some of your clothes, too.
The man at the table rose to his feet. There was a knife in his hand.
There you are, said Rach. Now you're going to waste my time.
He had finished his Coke icer, and he half turned. Then, as quickly as thought, he anchored himself to the table while his right leg shot out, and the point of his toe landed unerringly in the groin of the man with the knife. Down he went with a loud cry. Up went the table, driving the second man toward the wall and keeping him there, while Rach's right arm flashed out, with the edge of the palm striking hard against the larynx of the third, who coughed and went down. It had taken 2 seconds, and Rach now stood there with a knife in each hand and said, Now which one of you wants to move? They glared at him but remained frozen in place, and Rach said, In that case, I will now leave. But the server, who had retreated to the back room, must have summoned help, for 3 more men had now entered the store, while the server screeched, Troublemakers! Nothing but troublemakers! The newcomers were dressed alike in what was obviously a uniform, but one that Rach had never seen. Trousers were tucked into boots, loose green T-shirts were belted, and odd semi-spherical hats that looked vaguely comic were perched on top of their heads. On the front of the left shoulder of each T-shirt were the letters J.G. They had the Dalite look about them, but not quite the Dalite mustache. The mustaches were black and thick, but they were carefully trimmed at lip level and were kept from luxuriating too widely. Rach allowed himself an internal sneer. They lacked the vigor of his own wild mustache, but he had to admit they looked neat and clean. The leader of these 3 men said, I'm Corporal Quinber. What's been going on here? The defeated Billy Bottoners were scrambling to their feet, clearly the worse for wear. One was still doubled over, one was rubbing his throat, and the third acted as though one of his shoulders had been wrenched. The corporal stared at them with a philosophic eye while his 2 men blocked the door. He turned to Rach, the one man who seemed untouched. Are you a Billy Bottoner, boy? Born and bred, but I've lived elsewhere for 8 years. He let the Billy Botton accent recede, but it was still there, at least to the extent that it existed in the corporal's speech as well. There were other parts of Dahl, aside from Billy Botton, and some parts with considerable aspirations to gentility. Rach said, Are you security officers? I don't seem to recall the uniform. We're not security officers. You won't find security officers in Billy Botton much. We're the Joranum Guard, and we keep the peace here. We know these 3, and they've been warned. We'll take care of them. You're our problem, Buster. Name, reference number. Rach told them. And what happened here? Rach told them. And your business here? Rach said, Look here, do you have the right to question me? If you're not security officers... Listen, said the corporal in a hard voice. Don't you question rights. We're all there is in Billy Botton, and we have the right because we take the right. You say you beat up these 3 men, and I believe you. But you won't beat us up. We're not allowed to carry blasters. And with that, the corporal slowly pulled out a blaster. Now tell me your business here. Rach sighed. If he had gone directly to a sector hall, as he should have done, if he had not stopped to drown himself in nostalgia for Billy Botton and Coke icers, he said, I have come on important business to see Mr. Joranum, and since you seem to be part of his organi... To see the leader?
Yes, Corporal.
With two knives on you?
For self-defense. I wasn't going to have them on me when I saw Mr. Joranum.
So you say. We're taking you into custody, mister. We'll get to the bottom of this. It may take time, but we will.
But you don't have the right. You're not the legally const...
Well, find someone to complain to. Till then, you're ours.
And the knives were confiscated, and Rach was taken into custody.